Good afternoon. If you have your Bibles, and we'll turn with me to 1 Samuel. And we're in 1 Samuel chapter 7 this afternoon. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we're going to be beginning at verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. So I'll read from verse 3 to the end of the chapter. And Samuel spake unto all the household of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. When the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only, and Samuel said, Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them, until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto shall the Lord, hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in a circuit between Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, to come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the principles that are contained within this. How that, Lord, there's really a principle of repentance and a principle of just remorse. And, Father, help us to see the difference between the two, and help us to be repentant in our attitudes and actions and our desire to serve you, and not just remorseful because of the things that have happened in our life. Lord, now speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, we've been looking the last few weeks at the interaction between the Philistines and Israel. We saw before that Israel had put all their faith and trust in the Ark of the Covenant and thought the Ark of the Covenant was a thing, and they didn't realize it was really their attitude towards God that stood behind the Ark of the Covenant, and it was whether or not they really sought to serve the Lord and love the Lord with their whole heart. And that was what God was seeking, not just to have the ark go before them when they had a problem. We saw that the Philistines beat the Israels in battle. Israel lost 34,000 men to the Philistines. And then we see that they also captured the Ark of the Covenant. Then we saw that the Ark of the Covenant, when the Philistines had it, God brought judgment on the Philistines for worshiping a false god and placing and saying that their god now was greater than the god of the Israelites because they had the Ark. And we saw that he had Dagon fall before the Ark and break. And the Philistines, with great sorrow and fear, returned the Ark to Israel. What you're seeing happen there was a couple of things. One, Israel had a wrong attitude towards God. Because at the same time that they thought that they were putting their trust in God and looking to the Ark to be the source of victory, they were worshiping Ashtaroth and Baal. Ashtaroth and Baal had their roots all the way back to the Tower of the Tower of Babel during the time of Nimrod. And it was really occultic, demonic worship. And it was worshiping, really, Nimrod and his wife Semiramis. It's just different names that were given to them. Also, these are two of three demonic gods that come upon a people. And as these gods come upon a people, it's different stages. Baal is a stage where they begin to turn away from the true God and begin to worship idols and put their trust in idols. Ashtaroth was a god that brought really adultery and wicked, sinful sexual acts upon a people. And then the last god that would come would bring total destruction. And as the people worship this, they don't understand what they're giving themselves into. As we come now, the people are gathered together, and they go to Samuel because they are concerned. And Samuel is speaking to them, and he tells them what the real problem is. And the first thing he says is, you need to repent. They need to repent of their wrong actions and their wrong worship, and they instead need to turn and worship the true and the living God. And out of that repentance is going to come a revival of sorts. Samuel comes to them, and the first thing he says is, you need to put away your false gods. It's not just enough to come and say, what do we have to do? Can God help us? The Philistines are still in the land, and we're afraid. But that doesn't matter if you're not seeking to follow the Lord. It's not just enough to say that I'm God's child, but I need to walk with God. I need to seek fellowship with Him. I need to worship and honor Him. And so this is what Samuel is talking about when the children of Israel were told to put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And I want you to put emphasis on the word only. They were not to serve any other gods, just the true and the living God. This is something that we need to learn in our day as well. It's very easy for us to get caught up and we think, well, I'm not really serving a god. I don't have Baal or Ashtaroth idols in my bedrooms or a family room that I'm worshiping. But we can put other things before God. Many things can become idols in our lives where we worship them and to the exclusion of the Lord. We look and put our trust in those things and people or whatever instead of putting our trust in God. And we begin to follow the principles that they would have us follow instead of following the principles of God's Word. That's exactly what was happening with Israel. And as they did that, God became angry with them and discouraged with them because of their lack of faith. And instead, he told Samuel, tell them to repent, to turn back, and serve only me. Well, that Samuel said, gather all the people at Mizpah, and I will pray together. They told Samuel, we're going to do this. So then Samuel gathers them all together at Mizpah. Now, at Mizpah, they bring together and they have what is a water offering. And this isn't a normal offering for sins. It's an offering that is really symbolic of the fact that they are seeking to have God's Spirit poured out upon them, and they are seeking to not be following the false gods any longer, but they're truly repenting of what God had called them to repent of, that is, serving other gods. And so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day. Now, fasting is something that is another mark of really opening yourself up to the leading of God. And fasting and prayer is something that we're even encouraged to do throughout Scripture. When we have a need before the Lord, to fast so that we can not be thinking about food, but rather just concentrate on God when we're praying. And they did that. They had this offering, and then they fasted before God. And as they did that, they said they also confessed. And I was just talking to someone this morning, and they said that they had attended a church where people said, well, you don't need to confess your sins anymore because your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Well, if we even sin as a believer, John tells us, if we confess, now he's writing to believers, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What is the point of confession? Why do they need to confess their sins? The reason they needed to confess their sins is when you confess your sins, you are speaking it verbally, and you're identifying that it actually is a sin. If you don't confess it, it's very easy to say, well, God's forgiven me, and I can always go back to that if I want to. But when you confess it, you're confessing this was real rebellion against God. I didn't trust in God. I didn't believe in God. I was worshiping other gods. That is a sin. And so the people confessed, yes, we had idols of Balaam and Ashtaroth in our houses, and we worshiped them. What's amazing to me is how often Israel did this. You go throughout much of the Old Testament, and you'll see that it wasn't just an occurrence once in a great while, but it would oftentimes happen. And oftentimes, it would be a godly king that would bring the people back, like Hezekiah or Josiah, out of their idol worship. But these were people that they were making sacrifices. They were going through the motions, but they weren't confessing their sin and identifying it as sin. And so God said, you need to confess it. And so they confessed it. They fasted, prayed, confessed their sin, identified it as sin, and that they had sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel in Mizpah. Now, so he gathered all the people of Israel together in one spot. Remember, they're no longer in Shiloh. In Shiloh, that's where the tabernacle had been set up. That's where Eli had ruled and been the high priest over Israel. And now we see that under Samuel, he starts out at Mizpah. Then he also goes to Bethel, and he makes a circuit around throughout the land of Israel, and then his final place is where he lives at Ramah. Now, so they're at Mizpah, and they're all gathered together. The Philistines, now I want to look at the second thing is, you can have remorse because things happen to you, and maybe God even brings some type of judgment upon you because of your sin, and you just have remorse. Remorse is not transforming. Repentance is transforming. When you repent, you're transformed in your life. You're going a different direction. You're totally different in your character. Your desires are different. Your motivations are different. The way that you think is different. Israel repented. The Philistines had remorse. What is remorse? Remorse is I got caught at something and I had consequences I didn't like. I remember a man that I knew one time, and he had stole some things, and he got caught in the stealing, and he shed all kinds of tears, how that this was going to ruin his life, and he just shed tear after tear after tear, but there were tears of remorse because he got caught. Because you know why there were tears of remorse and how I know that? Because he went out and he got another job somewhere else, and guess what he did? He stole from that person too. There was no transformation of character. There was no repentance of heart. There was just remorse for getting caught. And so with tears of remorse. That was what the Philistines did. They had tears of remorse. Why did we bring this back here? Look at it, it's causing us all these problems. We've got all these people that have died. We've got all this, these tumors and all these horrible things happening to us. We've got to get this out of here. But they didn't want to worship the true God. They just wanted the Ark of the Covenant removed so that God would somehow take these things away and they could go back to worshiping Dagon. And that's exactly what they did. There was no repentance on their part. How do I know there's no repentance? They went right back to what they'd been doing before. What had they been doing before? They'd been trying to put Israel into servitude, or else drive them from the land. They didn't want them there. And they wanted what Israel had, and they'd attacked them before, and now they're going to attack them again. And as they see Israel gathered together in repentance and worship of the Lord, repenting to God and worshiping the Lord, and the whole nation's gathered together, they think, what a great time to attack, and we can get them. They won't be expecting us, and we can destroy them. And so they gathered together the five lords. And if you remember, these were the same five lords that watched the cow take the Ark of the Covenant back. And they're the same five lords that said, well, if this cow takes this back, if these two cows take this back while their calves are bellowing for them, and they don't go to the right or to the left, we'll know it's of God, and that God, this is really of God, and these judgments are of God. So they knew who they were from, but they didn't have any repentance. And it's these same five lords that now say, now's our chance. Israel isn't prepared. They're worshiping their God, so let's attack. And that's exactly what we see here. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Now, Samuel is going to tell them, you don't have to be afraid of the Philistines. And the fear was from a human perspective and earthly eyes, it was a justified fear. Because the Philistines were stronger, they had greater weapons, they were experienced in warfare. Israel was sheep herders and farmers and cattle raisers. They weren't experienced in war. War wasn't their thing. They just wanted to worship the Lord and raise their cattle and grow their crops. And so we see that the Philistines are a much more warlike people, and they're coming against them. It strikes fear in the heart of Israel. What does Israel do? Well, the children of Israel said to Samuel, now, instead of running for the hills, or instead of running like Hezekiah did when Sennacherib first came to him and said, I need tribute. And Hezekiah went and took all the silver out of the temple and even took the gold off the temple doors so they could have enough tribute to give Sennacherib at a later date. Israel didn't do this time. They didn't offer to pay a tribute. They didn't get their weapons out. They didn't, but they went to Samuel and said, what? Pray for us. Pray for us. Go call unto the Lord. And their perspective has changed. You see how their perspective has changed? As true worship and true repentance come, one's perspective changes. Before, they thought the perspective was the Ark of the Covenant. They've got the Ark of the Covenant again, but they don't say, go get the Ark of the Covenant. Let's put all our men behind the Ark of the Covenant. No, they go to Samuel and say, intercede on our behalf before God. God is our strength, not even the Ark of the Covenant. And then the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So they're looking for salvation from the Lord, not in their own strength. And Samuel took a suckling, a calf, or a lamb rather, and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. So I want you to see what Samuel's reaction is. Samuel's reaction is he hears them, and he goes to worship the Lord. The Philistines' armies are bearing down on them. They can see them coming. From an earthly perspective, what's the hope? And instead of Samuel saying, grab your swords, boys, let's go, instead he goes gets a lamb, and he offers it. as a burnt offering, and it's a complete burnt offering. There's nothing kept for him. There's nothing kept for any of the Levites. Nothing kept for the priests. This offering is totally unto the Lord. We're offering this completely unto you, and we're offering it imploring that you would help us and meet us in our time of need. And he cries unto the Lord, and he says, we are hopeless and helpless apart from your strength, is really the essence of his prayer, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Now, immediately, you could say, well, the next line should be, and Israel began to have to line up their battles. No, the Lord heard Samuel. As he heard Samuel, he did an amazing thing. He came between Israel and the Philistines. He says, but the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and this comforted them, and they were smitten before the Lord. I don't know exactly what that great thunder was, whether it was just a thunder, or whether it was some supernatural manifestation of lightning and thunder, or what it was, but it terrified the Philistines. So much so that they stopped in their tracks. God is not the first time that God has not done something like this. There's been other times where God miraculously delivered Israel out of the hands of their enemies, by coming against their enemies for them. And we see that he did it here again. He strikes fear in the hearts of the Philistines, and they flee. Now Israel is told, pursue them. Pursue them. Now is the time to pursue them. Not when they're coming with their swords drawn, but when they're running from you in fear. And so the Israelites pursue them in the power of the Lord, and it says, and the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth-Kar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. There are two names that were given in these accounts with the Philistines. The first one was given by Eli's daughter-in-law right before she died in childbirth, and the name she gave was Ichabod, and she named her son Ichabod, which means the Lord has departed. In other words, God isn't with us anymore. She saw her husband killed, she saw her father-in-law killed, she saw her brother-in-law killed, she saw 34,000 Israelites killed, she saw the Philistines get a tremendous victory and the Ark of the Covenant be stolen. She said, the Lord is no longer with us. He wasn't. He wasn't with them because they hadn't put their trust in him. And as we see from this text, there were idols in their tents. There were idols that they were worshiping. And they weren't worshiping God even though they went through the motions. Now they have worshiped God. Now he has given them a great victory over the Philistines. And the Lord tells Samuel, rather, gives another name to a stone, and he calls it Ebenezer, and hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And so the people understand that every time they see this stone, and it's called Ebenezer, they'll know that their help came from the Lord, not in their own strength. Now, from the rest of the text that we see here this afternoon, we see that the Philistines were not a problem again for the nation of Israel during the whole life of Samuel. And this is amazing, because the Philistines had always been a thorn in the side of Israel. They would once again be a thorn in the side of Israel once Samuel had died. But during the life of Samuel, they were never a thorn in the side of Israel. Why? Because Samuel led the people in a manner where they looked to the Lord, they trusted in the Lord, and they saw that the Lord was their help. Later on, when Samuel draws to the end of his ministry, and we see that he ends up dying, the Philistines once again come into the picture. But until that time, Scripture tells us they weren't a problem. Israel regained cities that they had lost to the Philistines. And you probably recognize some of the cities that they list. It says, from Ekron unto Gath, and the coasts thereof, did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. They had the hand, they had the city of Gath, which is and Ekron. There were two of the five large cities, and all the area between that. If you have a map, you can in the back of your Bible, you can see that Israel gained back territory that they had lost to the Philistines. And they maintained this territory as long as Samuel was judge. Why? Because Samuel's main focus was to keep their eyes on God and not on false gods. When Samuel comes to the end of his ministry, we see it shifts where the people begin to put their trust in other things besides God, and that's when they have problems. So we have our lesson today. There's one of remorse. Remorse only results in defeat. Remorse only results in similar actions to what you've already done that have brought about the remorse. And remorse will ultimately lead to God's judgment. Repentance, on the other hand, means a change in character, a change in attitude, a change of direction. And God will bless you as you walk with Him. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand the truth that we've been studying. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to focus on the importance of having a repentant heart and confessing our sins and bringing them before you, that you can be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that we may walk with you in the newness of life. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 412. 412.